I guess I've got as about as important a message to bring this morning as I've brought. Very, very important message. Needful message. And we find it here in Genesis 3, 8, and 9. My text. Verse 8, it says, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? Adam, where art thou?" Now this blessed book, the Bible, God's Word, is the revelation of His salvation, of how He saves sinners, and of why they need to be saved, of the necessity of their salvation. The truth taught here in Genesis 3, 8, and 9, and all of Genesis 3, is absolutely essential to understanding the rest of the Bible. If you don't understand what took place here, when God said, "Adam, where art thou?" and Adam hiding himself from the presence of God, you'll never understand the rest of the Bible. You'll never understand the lambs being offered. You'll never understand God's anger and wrath and justice. You'll never understand it. You know, the message here in Genesis 3 is the one above all others, of all things that there are in the Scriptures, that tells us why the world is the way it is. Why is the world in the condition it is? It tells us why salvation is utter and absolutely necessary. It tells us why Christ came. And it all starts right here in Genesis 3. You know, the questions are often asked, why is the world the way it is? I asked it myself years ago. And I still get pretty, you know, it's unbelief on my part, but I get upset with the way things are. And if I was God, I'd change things. In my estimation, but I'm not God. But I'd sure deal with people differently. But one of these days, He'll deal with them just exactly the way they should be. Folks upset me the way they do. But why is the world the way it is? How did we get where we are? How did we get to the position and come in this world where everything's out of kilter? Where there's nothing but disease and death, confusion and chaos. Murder and rape. Child abuse, disease, sickness. What's the reason for all these things in this world? And politicians, philosophers, psychologists, preachers, they've all sought to answer these questions. And they promised remedies and gave propositions to get us out of the mess that we're in. But the problems we face in this world today is revealed in the first question that's ever recorded in the Word of God. It's the first question ever recorded. Adam, who art thou? And when He says Adam, everybody in this building today and everybody you'll ever meet in this world is a son of Adam.
Amen.
Descended from Adam. Every single soul. Adam, who art thou? You could put your name there. But when God asks that question, He's asking that question of the whole human race. And He asked the question, why will you die? Why will you die? Why will you die? And there's two views to this question. Adam, where art thou? There's the Bible's view, which we'll get with in a minute. And then there's evolution. And evolution says that man started out of some ooze that came out of some primordial place and crawled out and sprouted a leg, sprouted enough, two arms, and then sprouted some legs. And then but I ask you this. If that's so, then there has to be a more perfect man somewhere than you and I are. Somebody has to evolve someplace that's better than me and you. But I've never met anybody. When I look at people, I see everyone exactly the same. I don't see people I see people in different positions. I see people with different education levels. I see people with different social levels and economic levels. But I don't see people as any different in the sight of God. Nothing impresses me about anybody. Only this is the one thing I know of, that if a man don't know God and don't know Christ, God's saying, where are you?
Amen.
Where are you? And all beloved, God, here's the situation. I read it to you. God made man and woman. Here's why God asked this question. Adam, where are you? God made man and He made woman. He made man and He said it's not good for man to be alone. He made him a woman, made him a helpmate. And He put them in what He Himself describes as paradise, the Garden of Eden. And that's what we describe as paradise. And they lived there in this paradise, in this glorious Garden of Eden. And they lived there with God and they communed with God. And God came down every day in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Only way God can walk is if Him come down as a thief. It's come down as Christ. And they walked with Him and they communed with Him. And God's always revealed Himself to sinners in Christ. And you have this beautiful picture. Here's this perfect man and this perfect woman and this perfect place. And they're walking and talking and communing with God. And there they are. And then all of a sudden, we come to Genesis 3, 8, and 9. There before that we see life as it was. They're walking and communing with God in this perfect place, in this perfect God, in this perfect people, and in perfect things. Everything's just right. There we see life as it was. And then the next thing we find, Adam and Eve hiding. Hiding. Ain't that what it says in verse 7? The eyes of them both were open. They knew they were naked, so fig leaves together and made themselves apron. They heard the voice of the Lord walking in the cool of the day and hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. This shows them, Adam and Eve, hiding in their misery and in their wretchedness and in their darkness and in their blindness and their nakedness. What happened that caused them to walk with Him in this perfect place and then all of a sudden start hiding from Him in wretchedness and misery? What caused them to walk with Him one day and the next day their desire to avoid Him, to avoid God, get away from that voice that followed them? What made them want to get away from that voice that followed them throughout that garden? And oh my, God comes along there in verse 17 and 18. He pronounces a curse. He said there in verse 17, and unto Adam He said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and also in thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. Here we're told, because of this relationship that changed, it announces that a curse came upon the world. Disease and death came into this world. A curse came upon everybody that comes into this world. I mean, a curse of God Himself. Thorns and thistles. You know, if Adam hadn't have failed, this is what God's going to do. If Adam hadn't failed, we wouldn't have briars. We wouldn't have to fertilize. We wouldn't have to do a thing in the world but enjoy where we live. Now that's right. And God's going to do away with this world, and He's going to bring in a new heaven and a new earth that's going to be what Adam and Eve lived in. And everybody there is going to be righteous, and it won't be Adam's righteousness. It'll be the righteousness of Christ Himself.
Amen.
But I want us to see. There's two things I want us to see. Just two things. I want to see God, life as God made it. God made Adam and Eve. Took him out of the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils, and he became a living soul. Adam means man of the red earth. And then life as it became. Not as God made it, but how it became. And we see first the life as God had made it. God had made it. But because of the second, life as it is now, when God said, Adam, where art thou? Here we see sin introduced. This is life as it is now. Sin came into this world through this one man. We see sin coming into this world. We see sin introduced in paradise. We see sin introduced into a perfect environment. We see sin introduced here. And man did certain things that changed everything for every member of the human race from that moment to the end of time. And because of this one man and what he did and this sin that entered into the world, that's why we're in the state we're in right now. That's why men and women right in this service today are in the condition they're in. And let me tell you something. Man's troubles are in himself. It's the first thing I want us to see. Man's troubles are in himself. Man's troubles not in God. Man's troubles in himself. Not in his environment. Not in his circumstances. Now here's Adam and Eve put in a perfect environment. In the most glorious circumstances that anybody can be put in. God called it Eden. God Himself dwelt there. God Himself told the man, all you got to do is dress this garden. And oh my, this man will say, if we can just change man's environment, you can change the man. Well, this proves that lie. This proves that lie. Adam was in paradise. Eve was in paradise. Started out in a perfect environment. Started out in perfect in circumstances. And you take children. You take children raised in a home where Christ is honored, God is called on, where they have service, where the gospel is honored, and where God loves Christ and they love God and they raise their children like that, and then those children turn out to be so ungodly and so wretched and so mean and so hateful and ignore God after everything they've been taught. Why is that? Because the environment, circumstances has nothing to do with what a man is. It's what he is in himself.
Amen.
The trouble's in him. And man's trouble's not in his conditions or his circumstances, but in himself. Ain't that right? And oh, and I tell you what our troubles, why do we have such troubles? Our troubles are due to a wrong relationship with God. A wrong relationship with God. Now here's a man who started out in fellowship and communion with his Creator. God came down and walked with him in the cool of the day. And he started out in fellowship. He started out in communion with God. Started out in communion. I mean, God made him, and the first thing he faces is the God that made him. And he delighted in His presence. There's my Maker. There's my Creator. Glorious in His power. Glorious in His being. And He's here walking and talking and fellowshipping with me. And now it turns right around and the same God that He's communing with walks through the cool of the garden in the evening and He says, Adam, where are you? Something's wrong now. What's wrong? Sin entered into this world. Here's a man and a woman. They came from the hand of their Maker. Now they're miserable. Now they're unhappy. Now they're ashamed. And now they know something is vitally wrong. Instead of delighting to hear the voice of the Son of God, they just cower now. Cower in His presence. Here they hear the voice. And they hide. They cower down in the presence of God. Hide from Him. Huh? Why do they hide from Him? Why would they hide from Him? Why would anybody hide from God? But people do it. They hide in lots of places. They hide in their goodness. They hide in their morality. They hide in, I'm not as bad as other people. They hide in, I'm an American. They hide in their patriotism. They hide in their church. They'll hide in their doctrine. They'll hide in their opinions. They'll hide in their feelings. They'll hide in 1,000 places, but it's all the same thing. They hear the voice of God and they hide. Cower. And what are the reasons? What are the reasons that brought into them to them this place before God? What's the reasons that brought them to this place before God? Were there, they was walking with Him, communing with Him, dwelling in paradise, and now they're hid and they're cowering in the presence of God. Why did they all of a sudden become ashamed? Why did they become naked? And God said, "Who told you you was naked? I didn't tell you you was naked. I made you naked." Who told you now that you was naked? What makes you unashamed? What makes you not want to hear my voice now? Right? And I'll tell you the reasons that brought him into this place. And this is a fatal, fatal belief. A fatal belief. I mean, it'll destroy you eternally. And it's this, that man believes that he knows what's best for himself. Man, every man believes he knows what's best for himself. God made man upright, put him in a perfect place. Why did he continue in that perfect place? Huh? Why did he, now is he hiding? I'll tell you why. Because Adam believed he knew better than God how to manage his own life. Yeah? He knew how to run his own life much better than God did. I know what's best for me. I know what's best for my relationships. I know what's best for my person. Huh? Oh, God gave him, look back over here in Genesis 2. God gave him great liberty. All the liberty that a man could possibly want. There wasn't an animal that would have harmed him. There's not anything that would have hurt him. God said in verse 15 here, Genesis 2:15, "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat." Oh, what liberty. There ain't a thing in the world, in this world, that I won't hold back from you. You're welcome to all of it. All of it. But there's only one thing I command you to do. Just one thing. Watch what he says now. "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden..." Now that's just a command, "thou mayest freely..." "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. Thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest, thou shalt surely die." Dying, thou shalt die. The day you do that, you're going to start dying. And then you're going to end up in death itself. Huh? God gave him great liberty. Gave him a good life. A just life. Just to live it. Why didn't he just live that life? Why didn't he just live it? Live in the liberty God gave him. Why do we want to live in the liberty that God gave us? Why do we want to bring ourselves into bondage? And God gave him only one prohibition. Now look here in Genesis 3 with me just a minute. Genesis 3. Let's go down through here and see what happened. "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field." Now up to this time he had never crawled. Up to this time he didn't go on his belly. And we know, and that's why God called him, calls him the great serpent. Calls him the dragon. "And yea, that serpent," he called the people that he preached to, "oh, you generation of vipers and serpents, because they're subtle and crafty and deceitful." Now the serpent was more subtle, crafty, deceiving than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. "And he said unto the woman, yea, have God said..." Huh? "Yea, because God has said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden." Oh, my. That's not what God said. You may eat of every tree of the garden. There's only one you can't eat. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden. God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Now, God didn't say anything about touching it. He just said, don't eat it. Just don't eat it. And the serpent said unto her, the woman, oh, you shall not surely die. Oh, my. That's the first thing he tells a man. You're not going to die. You're not going to die. God is not going to let you die. God loves you too much. You're too good a man. You're too good a person. You just know God's just not just. God is just not righteous. And God's truth is not true. So you just go ahead and eat it. You really will not die. There's what he says. God don't know what's best for you. You need to decide for yourself. For God doeth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened. You'll see things as they really are. God's withholding things from you. And you, here's the key to it, you should be as gods. You yourself should be as a god. Knowing good and evil. How many people set up themselves to be their own gods? Their own opinions, their own feelings. That's all that matters. Their own ideas. What God says about it don't make any difference. And don't never try to answer an opinion with an opinion. Answer opinion with truth.
Amen.
And that way a man will be without excuse. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, oh my, tastes good. Oh my, sin's deceitful. Oh, how the Scripture says sin's deceitful. Ain't that what it says? The deceitfulness of sin. And here sin deceived her. And it was sin so deceived her. Said, oh, this tastes so good. And then look, it looks good. Look how pleasant it is. That's why when you go in a produce section somewhere, they got all apples, parts, and all that. They want to make it look good. And that's what religion does. Wants to make you look good. Join the church. Get your Bible. Walk out. Come up to the front. Get in our baptistry. And everything will be okay. They want to make you look good. But oh my God, listen. And then it was a tree that desired to make one wise. And she took the fruit thereof and did eat. And gave also unto her husband. And he did eat. And then they said, this is one thing the devil told him is true. And the eyes of them both were opened.
Sure.
And you know what they learned? Good is lost and evil is all that's left. Huh? There was good before that. Now there ain't nothing but evil. God's asked for men. God said, I went looking for a good man. Did you find one? No. No. And they knew they were naked. And they went and hid there. Adam, where are you? You see, beloved, they refused. Here's what man did. He believed that he knows what's best for himself. What's best for himself. They refused God's truth. They refused God's word. Because they themselves thought they knew what was best for them. And what was best for them wasn't God's will. It wasn't God's word. They put their thoughts and their will against God's law. God commanded them and they said, we're going to do what we want to do. Their will in the place of God's will. Their feelings in the place of God's word. Have you done this? Have you done this? Have you put your opinion in the place of God's word? Have you put your feelings in the place of God's will? Have you put your philosophy in the place of God's wisdom that's revealed in Christ? Do you have any shame? They were ashamed. They went and hid themselves. They were ashamed. Have you had any shame? Are you happy? Are you well physically? Well mentally? Do you ever long for anything better? Do you put your will against God's will? Do you put your ideas against God's word? I tell you what you're doing if you do that. You're just repeating what Adam did in the garden. You're saying, I know what's best for me, and it's not God's word, and it's not God's will. I know what's best for me. That's the first reason. Man's fatal belief that he knows what's best for himself. That's why we got the shape we're in, where we're at now. The second reason is man refused to face seriously the fact of judgment. The fact of judgment. And what God said to him there in verse 11 here of Genesis 3. And he said, who told thee thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat? The day that I told you you'd eat of it, I told you you'd die. He didn't take that serious. He didn't take it seriously. Oh, no. No. No, ain't no way. Huh? God told them plainly, the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. And that first death is separation from God. That's the first thing that happens. Oh, you don't want to hear God's voice anymore. You put your will in His place. You put your opinion in His place. You put your belief in His place of His Word. He says truth. You say, I feel. He says, I will. You say, no, I will. And oh, God told them plainly. And so here Adam is left without excuse. What excuse does he have? What excuse does he have? Huh? God told him at the beginning, when he first made him, when he first made him, the first thing God told him, everything in here you do with it, enjoy it. You got liberty. Eat everything you want. Just that tree right there, leave it alone. That summarized the whole law of God.
Amen.
You do what I say because I made you. And oh, and that's why he's left with that excuse. God told him at the beginning that he would hold him responsible. I'll hold you responsible for what you do. You eat of that fruit of that tree. And there's nothing but judgment. Huh? Now he's found here in such misery. You know why? Because he didn't take the judgment seriously. He didn't take it seriously. Men go out of this world not taking the judgment seriously, and they'll take it seriously when it happens. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. I heard this morning on the news that one man shot three cops dead and left one in critical condition, and then they shot him. And the first thing I thought of, almost guaranteed that they all went to hell just that quick if they didn't know Christ. Especially that guy shot him. I mean, the minute his last breath, he wound up in hell. And nothing but the anger of God and the wrath of God to beat on him through all eternity. And this is a blessing that God gave us. This is such a mercy that God gave us. We can rejoice and have faith, great comfort and assurance when we hear of a believer, God calling them home. Oh, we find such joy, such comfort, and we rejoice in it. But when somebody dies that we know that don't have any hope whatsoever, none whatsoever, God won't let us think of the. He just won't let our mind enter into that. Now you think about it. But we just can't think of it. Just God just keeps our mind from entering into the depths of that. That's a mercy, ain't it? What a mercy. And I tell you something, man just keeps doing the same thing. Once Adam done this and he disregarded and refused to take seriously the judgment of God, the command of God, the day you eat, you'll surely die. And the judgment came. He died. And man keeps doing the same thing. God looked down upon the face of the earth and he saw the wickedness was man was evil continually, that the thoughts of his imagination was only evil continually. What did he do? He destroyed the world with a flood. Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the plain, he destroyed them. Why? Because of their sin, their wickedness. They did not take the judgment of God seriously. Noah preached 120 years, said judgment's coming, the flood's coming. God's going to destroy this earth and everything in it. Not one soul took that word seriously. Not one.
Amen.
And when God told him, don't destroy Adam at the Garden of Eden, Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities of the plain, do you think they took that seriously there? Lot, when told his own sons and son-in-laws and daughters, said, God's fixing to destroy this place. Come on, get out of here with me. They laughed at him and mocked him. And three people come out of that place. And John the Baptist came preaching repentance. And he's preaching to people, flee from the wrath to come.
Amen.
Flee from the wrath to come. And then, beloved, men still refuse to hear, and they cut John the Baptist's head off. Cut his head off. Why? Because he said it's not lawful. God said it's not lawful. They cut his head off. That's what they've done. And God said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll send my own son. I'll send him. They'll reverence him. They'll love him. They'll submit to him. They'll honor him. They'll love him. They'll worship him. And they said, this is the heir. Come, let's kill him, and the inheritance will be ours. And beloved, the time is swiftly, swiftly coming when you'll hear the voice. Where are you? Where are you? Where are you right now? Where are you right now in relation to God? Are you putting your beliefs, what's best for you, in the place of what God says best for you? Are you not taking the judgment of God seriously? Oh my. Man's nature now is to, when he hears the voice of God, is to get away from it. To hide from it. And I'll tell you what, I'll tell you how I know this. How many of you read your Bibles regularly and faithfully every single day? You know why? You don't do that? Because it brings you into the presence of God. And you want to put that off just as long as you can. And if you're a believer, you ought to just delight being in the presence of God. You ought to enjoy being in the presence of God. Right? But man's nature is, when he hears the voice of God, to get away from it, to hide. His reaction is to hide and make an excuse for himself. Adam, have you ate of that tree? It's the woman you gave me. And then the woman said, it's the serpent that beguiled me. And that's what man is doing the same thing today. I'm a victim. I'm a victim. I'm not the fault. I'm a victim of my circumstance. Oh, well, who and what could put man back where he doesn't hide anymore? Who can put man back in the right relationship with God? How can it be done? Man's guilty, but yet God comes looking for him.
Yes, sir.
Adam, where are you? And he comes looking for him, not just to condemn him. Yet God had pity on him. God came after him. God himself called out to him, called him by his name. Not only to condemn him, but to give him, first thing, a gracious, gracious promise. Look what he says there in verse 15. And I'll put enmity between the seed, thee and the woman. He's talking to the serpent now. And between thy seed and her seed. Oh, her seed. You know, the seed of the serpent, it shall bruise thy head, but thou shalt bruise his heel. Christ is going to crush that serpent's head, and his heel is going to be bruised. God gives them this gracious presence of the seed of a woman. A Messiah that's going to come. A Savior that's going to come. A Redeemer that's going to come. God, here's what happens. God faces this evil that came into the world. God faced this sin that came into this world. God faced man who fell that came into this world. And he faced it, and he defeated it, and he conquered it.
Amen.
Huh? The promise of salvation is announced. The serpent's head's going to be bruised. The seed of the woman's going to come. And then it says, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, that very law that says, don't you dare eat of that fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. He'll be made under the law. To redeem. To pay the debt of breaking that law. To pay the debt of that wrong relationship with God. Huh? And then he said he sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. She sang that song, you know, the blood, the Spirit bears witness to the blood that I am born of God. Oh my. Now look what happens now. After God pronounced the curse, look what he says now. In verse 21 here of Genesis 3. It shows us the gospel that's going to come. And unto Adam also into his wife. See, they're both naked now. They're both sinners now. They're both hiding from God now. And they've got to do away with them fig leaves. Them fig leaves won't work. Tell you something about fig leaf religion. Tim James said this years ago, and this fits, I just think of it often. Whenever you pull a fig leaf off of a tree, it starts dying immediately. And it'll eventually die, and you'll have to get another one, and you'll have to get another one. And that's why religion outside of Christ don't work. You never have peace. You never have contentment. You never have rest. Your conscience is always accusing you. You're always doing more for God. You're always trying to please God more, and you're never satisfied. And it won't last. But if God clothes you, watch what it says now. And unto Adam and also to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins. And what's this? And he clothed them. He clothed them. It's like the prodigal when he returned home, when he came home, came to himself. The father says, bring hither the best robe. And he didn't say hand it to him and let him put it on. He says, put it on him. Put a ring on his finger to show this glorious relationship that we have, this eternal covenant we have. And secondly, put shoes on his feet because he's going to walk different now. He got to have the gospel of peace on his feet. And here God's clothing their nakedness. And in order to clothe them with the animal skins, he had to shed some blood.
Yeah.
Why was blood shed? Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. With, you know, God's justice that says, you know, the soul that sinneth it shall die. And Adam, you sinned and you died. Justice that's going to give this life must be satisfied with the shedding of blood. And after the blood shed, then the nakedness is clothed. After the blood shed and God is satisfied, God can righteously and justly put clothes on you. And oh, listen. Christ, the blessed Lamb of God, he came into this world. God prepared him a body to die in, a body that could shed blood, a body that could satisfy the justice of God from Adam all the way to the last person because of the worth of his blessed person. It's the very blood of God himself. And the man that comes to Christ and believes in Christ, God will take the righteousness of Christ, the clothes of Christ, the obedience of Christ, because he suffered, he faced that law. You'll die. And oh, he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why did he do it? Because sin was found on him. And where God finds sin, he justly condemns it. He justly punishes it. And Christ satisfied the justice of God there, and the wrath of God was spent on him, and then he came back from the dead. And beloved, now God can justly, righteously give you the righteousness of Christ and cover your nakedness for all eternity.
Amen.
And you'll be satisfied because God's satisfied with what Christ did, huh? Sin's been atoned for. Sin's been atoned for. And oh my. Let me read you a verse of Scripture. Well, just look at it with me. 1 Corinthians 1:30. I want you to see that. 1 Corinthians 1:30. 1 Corinthians 1:30. I want you to see this. This is what I'm talking about. This is what I'm talking about. I remember hiding from God. Oh my, we hid in our dress codes, in our convictions, in our altars, in our obedience, in our tithe paying, with the way we dressed, all the things you know that the religion was telling us to do to get right with God. And I could never get right with God. Only God can get right. Only God can make things right with God. Only God can make the way for a sinner to come into His presence. And look what He says here in verse 30. But of Him, of God, are ye in Christ Jesus. God puts us in Christ. And then He turns around and God makes Christ unto us wisdom, spiritual sense. This is the only way I can know God can be right with me. I see the wisdom of God in Christ bearing my sins and at the same time making me just. Oh, He's the wisdom of God to us. We bless God that this is the way through substitution. And not only that, but He's made righteousness to us. Not just a righteousness that He sticks on us to go along with ours. We are righteous inside and out. That's what righteousness is. We have the very righteousness of Christ. Was Christ righteousness only on the outside? Or was He righteous in His very nature? And everything, if we became sinners in Christ, we become right. As sinners in Adam, only we become righteous is in Christ. Now watch this. And sanctification. Oh my, we need to be made holy. Need to be set apart. God claims us. He said, oh, they're mine. Sets us apart. He makes us holy. Now watch this. And redemption. You know what that means? That means that He bought us. That He bought us. Paid for our sin. And because He bought us, He's going to come back and get us. That redemption there has to do with Him coming to get this body. And change it. Huh? Well, wouldn't you love to know Christ like that? Wouldn't you love to have that relationship where you don't hide from God? Will you?